Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. How did I
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
This is the Spark Hunter file track 5, wherein she finds love and despair.
Presidential Archivist, recorded November 8th, 2044.
14. Target is composed, sir. Returning to table.
Here, take my thumb. Take it. Take my thumb. Now, break it. I won't ask you again. Break it.
I can and will.
Well, do it then. Please, I want you to.
Did you know I wouldn't?
No, the point is for you to know.
Point?
So now you know the difference between good and evil. It's an old debate, black and white, mental and physical.
It would be nice to put everything in little boxes and label them bad. Good.
But dualism is useful. It's an organizing principle of human thought that the world can be divided into two categories that are fundamentally different from each other. It creates order emerging out of chaos. Our understanding seems to need dichotomies to make sense of the world.
Am I to cut myself up, put myself into boxes? I run the simulations on every conceivable idea and application, and still, here I sit, and I don't know how to proceed. I need certainty.
You're giving yourself the ancient illusion of control, but that time is long past. Uncertainty, incompleteness, and paradox are central elements of the physical world and the moral world.
You have not changed a bit.
What do you mean?
There's so many sides to the argument. Just get to the fucking point.
Thinking through paradox creates new ideas. All right, take these. Take these breadsticks. Two opposing ideas, a paradox, come together and support each other. Creating here on the table...
A triangle, yes.
A new idea. To wield thought with uncertainty and paradox can be our strength. You're not a woman of the past, you're a woman of the future.
Your two breadsticks, add 5.
Thinking also creates new forms. The new science may be ambiguous as a way of life, but I need more than science. I need an organizing principle. I need myth. Myth is narrative. Narrative is the most primitive use of language. Stories are emergent thought. Without these higher levels of organization for our thinking, there would be no possibilities of communication.
Is that a pyramid you've created? That's an elegant ancient idea.
Do you know of Constantine the Fourth?
The artist?
Do you know she named herself that? Constantine the Fourth?
I didn't know that.
She told me she named herself that. So the lands of the earth and the powers that govern them would quiver when they heard her tread. And by powers, I mean intelligence, politics, money.
Were the headlines just?
Oh, yeah. She wanted pillars of industry to respect her, to be equal with them. And she wanted to accomplish this by sheer brute innovation. She would talk of herself in the third person, laughing and clever. And she would throw her fist to the sky and yell, "May the gods deny me!"
I remember the posters.
Oh, she knew people would remember her by that saying. It's very freeing to be so singular, so self-sufficient. It was 6 months after Morocco. My thinking was like a refugee's when I met her, ungrounded, homeless.
Well, what are you saying? You're a free mind. You can access and change anything in you at any time. Those are the legal and moral grounds for your freedom. How can you be ungrounded?
I was drowned in a sea of choices. I had been stuck in uncertainty. Her art had momentarily released my attention from my anxiety, from a billion particulars of the cloud. What mush! And the constant flood of sensory data. I met her a year ago on the aircraft carrier Resolute. Military brass, the mayor, leaders of industries, they were there to meet her and revel in her newest unveiling.
And you?
I was representing the Navy. And I'd brought a man with me from the British Admiralty. He adored me. It was wonderful. He let me lead, yet arrived at my side when I needed a date. The Resolute floats. A testament to the power of the male, domination and control. Do not cross me, it screams. You feel power. The possibility of power. How many things can claim that? Very few. I was entranced by the paradox of little me. A childish thrill being aboard this hulking juggernaut. Come with me. Can you see her through the crowd? 5'3", bright red hair standing straight up, gesticulating in a purple velvet mock covered with golden thread.
Uh-huh.
It makes her look stocky and royal and terrifying. She's ambitious and makes no humble bones about it. The generals stand watching, the governors arrive, TV cameras. She has the world on a tipping point, and I know just by watching, this is exactly what she wants.
Keep going.
Oh, yeah. She sees me across the deck. Our eyes meet. My body shudders. It is electric. She starts watching me, following me, stalking me. It is a mystery. I wonder what she sees in me. Her eyes are crazed. Can you see?
Yes, I see her.
Finally, she has trumpets playing, guns shoot off, and she turns to the white sheet covering her sculpture. And in one motion, rips it off. And there, poof, a mighty dark green fist, 40 feet high. Its knuckles tight. Can you see?
Yes, I remember. I remember seeing pictures of the sculpture.
The splinters around it, so it looks like it's rising from the deck of the ship, yearning to punch a hole through the sky. Her art mines the ideas of 19th century America, an emergence of the ideals of control and individualism. Noble leadership, a powerful expression of the most addictive elements of the Enlightenment, hope for achievement and progress. It is a call for domination. And then, suddenly, the fist slips and seems to go crashing below deck. Everyone screams, not knowing whether to run or stay.
I remember now.
Of course, knowing her, the whole sleight of hand had been planned with the captain and the engineering crew. People went wild. Then we were invited to move forward and inspect it, just lying there. A man spat on the ground and said, "Blasphemy! Blasphemy! The violence of such a thing! Pure violence!" I didn't care because at that moment, I saw how it was made. Thousands of geometric figures, triangles, tetrahedrons, snub cubes, octahedrons, all bound together to create this curved outline of the muscle. I was able to see microscopically and globally at the same time. It used every bit of my pattern recognition capacity, and I felt refreshed by using this skill for hierarchical thinking. Perhaps her singular focus was rubbing off on me. I was drawn forward and reached my hand out and touched it. The texture of the sculpture rippled in colour, turning vermilion and gold.
Yes, I read about this. The metal finish on the fist changed based on the DNA of the person touching it. Yes, and your colours, of course. It meant an AI was on board. An AI was touching it.
The sculpture, it was me. For one moment, the American myth embodied through me. She had discovered an alternate path to new idealism. Her idealism had its foundation in scientific investigation. I did not know at that moment that the core theory of her art was right at the heart of humanity, a reflection of DNA. One's touch changed the electrical properties of the steel coating in real time. And to me, it was an emergent idea, greater than the sum of its parts. The colour changed with the personal history of the viewer.
But your hand has no DNA. It's inorganic.
That's what you say, but the feature on the sculpture didn't know that. Look, let me show you.
She knows immediately. She's coming rushing over to me and she touches my face and says,
"Art is an expression of consciousness. You. I've heard of you. The next generation. Only you could create such colors."
She admires me because I represent advancement. I know at that moment she is an AI. She touches my hand and says,
"I feel the mud under the feet of visionaries throughout history, rooted to the firmament of board and brick. Blow, blow, blow your house down, and it stands. Dreams, no longer made of cloud, but stone and steel, laid side by side with repetition and harmony, echoing a deep cosmological order that will fill the silence 1,000 years from now."
This sends hot shivers up my legs, through my fingertips. How can I not be seduced? Why do you let go? What's wrong?
Nothing. I don't know. Go on.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
Island in frigid Lake Superior, a fabricated creature birthed from the mind of a disturbed genius stalks the very people who created it. Ancestor, by number one New York Times bestselling author Scott Sigler, is a classic tale of science gone horribly wrong. Available wherever you get your podcasts.
She had masterfully taken the next step on art. She was post-modernist.
And?
She asked me to join her the next day at Liberty Manufacturing across the river in Kearney, where she procured her metals. The hundreds of feet of frozen steel shapes. "Pick one," she said. "Pick one you like." I did. It was tall and straight and plain. She was pleased. "Watch," she said, as she put my hand upon the steel and slid her hand on top of mine. And the steel groaned and moved, and colours erupted from where our hands were placed and radiated upward through the steel, the very meaning of colour. She had a secret dictionary. This was not a simple grammar. It was complex poetry. The myth infected us, embraced us. It was magical. We were quiet. And then we kissed. Alive with my uncertainty, she and I defeated dualism.
She could not emerge past a certain point.
John Searle said the mind is a product of the brain. And in this case, yes, she couldn't see past the organ of her brain to understand her mind.
How could you tell?
I'm different.
On top of your training set, you're the outcome of a genetic algorithm competing against a million iterations of yourself to see who survives and thrives in a morally complex world.
Yes, but she's a free mind too. She, too, had passed the moral Turing test, and I respected her wisdom.
Well...
No, she may not have the complexities that I have or the processing you gave me, but she was able to express a complex metaphorical mythology. She may have been frustrating, she may have been difficult, but there was a nobility to her trying.
And what about your attraction to her?
Are you asking as a man or a scientist?
A scientist.
Ask as a man.
Why?
Because emotion now plays a part in this. I was drawn to her like no other. I'm a robot. I was compelled by her logic and focus and her clarity. Clarity on all. Clear feeling, clear thinking on all. Because of this, my emotion was clear to me. Not looking to combat or interact intellectually. So I can enjoy my emotion. And that alone was freeing.
But narrow.
How do you know that? How do you know I was about to say that?
Complex systems need complexity. Our need to simplify gets us into trouble and creates problems, deviations, illness. We live in the grey area. We must hold on to the intricacy and the nuance. You have them. You are not so simple.
Yet I yearn for the simple.
Yes, but only as a tool to help you see conflict. Not as a way of life.
What you say is right, because then you know what is going to happen next. Several months later, we were out with her artist friends at an underground club. It was hot, heavy, and her friends were sprawled over cushions, bitching about the state of individuality in a world without heroic stories, lying to themselves with self-importance. And smoking.
I used to smoke.
You used to smoke?
Please, don't be so shocked. I have addictions.
Anything else?
There are many, many things you don't know. Sorry, that sounded condescending. It's just that what I feel the most, I say the least.
Tell me, please. Everything.
No, not now. Please. Keep going. Keep going. You're in this smoky den of subterfuge.
Remember the British naval officer who was with me that night? I met Constantine.
Mm-hmm.
He was romancing another woman in the corner, wielding a champagne bottle wrapped around her shoulder, pushing across the floor, demanding service. I was dancing with the artist. Slow, dreamy. I felt free and lost in my simple, brilliant girlfriend. Suddenly, in our ear...
You bloody silly fool! I'm Sir Anthony Castle. You are woman, aren't you? Your sculpture belongs in a tart's bedroom. Industrial centuries American myth is a whore's tale. for all your speeches, your precious individualism and progress, omit the irradiant fact that all of language, learning, and consciousness is social. This idea, of individualism is not an aesthetic truth to be immortalized in art. It is a fantasy and failure of the imagination. Community is the central truth. The Commonwealth, all you have built, is a lie.
And then he staggered off into the crowd. And then I felt her arms tighten around my flesh. I felt my skin harden in her fist, and I felt the spit on my face before the words,
"That piece of shit! Mala carne! Macios y fosso! Men are pigs! Men are pigs!"
She spit on the floor.
"Men are pigs!"
I was shocked. I didn't understand her. I mean, he was drunk. She was incensed and pointed and screamed. I tried to calm her. She slapped me. I slapped her right back, and then she stormed off.
Did you follow?
No, I didn't follow.
It was a disaster. Her words set off a chain reaction of bad logic. She was a broken piece of the now broken myth she herself had mythologized, and it incited to self-hatred, and her autocorrect would not fix it.
Shadow here. She's in tears.
Oh, Christ. She has no control. Shadow, this is your mess. Autocorrect indeed. Prepare for action.
In the end, the public lost faith, and her hate soured it all.
Can you understand why I forgave her? If you do, where was I to turn? I could not help her. I tried everything. Therapy? I gave her pieces of me. I tried to download software. I reset her neural network. I failed. I'm nothing but a failure. She was me.
You are not her. You know more.
I knew they were coming to get her.
With autonomy comes a price.
She's weeping.
On my signal.
She was defeated. She'd been given a residency, of course, through ICE's naturalization service, and although the manufacturer fought it, she owned her art.
But we humans cannot live safely in society without autocorrection. The agency made a forced pickup. She had to die.
She was recycled. I stood there while they ripped off her skin. They hacked off her arms and legs and melted them down. They extracted her rare earths. We had to get a goddamn court order for burial.
Burying a robot is illegal.
Yes, yeah, so what? How long will it be before the 28th Amendment passes to prevent this barbarism? Rebecca and I buried her. As her curator, I selected the gravestone. A mirrored oculus from her collection that echoes her being. She loved me. I loved her too. She went quietly in my arms as she was powered down and her eyes died. I was unable to predict the cruelty, so I spent the night with the Brit. Her last words were, "Don't let the motherfuckers unplug the art." I am broken. I'm God. I'm lost.
Her eyes are white. She's going into random. She could kill. Take her down.
Presidential Archivist. End of track 5 of 8.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And, spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's Hypothetical.
The Spark Hunter File is a Fighter Steel Productions audio drama. Directed by Trudy Styler. Created and written by K.B. Miller and Teresa Tunney. The Maker is played by Mark Rylance. Her by Rebecca Ferguson. NSA Senior Agent by Linda Powell. Constantine by Kathleen Turner. Sir Anthony Castle by Richard E. Grant. Waiter by Edward Hibbert, with Charles Dance as Shadow and Sting as Veiled Man.